Hey, everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Teen Flick Movie Night, your favorite teen flick podcast. We're almost at 300 episodes, guys. That's insane, and it's more insane to think about in 300 episodes this movie that we have referenced so many times as one of the underrated gems. We just have been dragging our feet on it, and I don't know why, so it's finally time for us to sit down and talk about Whatever It Takes. Now, Scott, I believe this one was your pick. Can you tell us why you finally got around to picking Whatever It Takes?
Because it's springtime, you know, prom's coming up, prom's on my mind, and I just want Brian Ryan to take me to the prom.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was because you wanted some mayhem, baby, in this because, man, what a movie. Now, I'll be honest. As I was watching this movie, because it's been a while since I watched it, there was a part of me that was wondering, is this movie actually good or do I just like it because I've watched it like 1,000 times? And I'm leaning more towards the latter side of that statement.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to have to go with that too because it's been a good, I mean, this is going to make me sound like a total teen flick poser, but I think this, I haven't watched this movie in at least a decade. So it's a lot more misogynistic inappropriate than I remember. They say the colloquial term for homosexual quite a bit as an insult, and I'm not feeling that.
I do notice a lot of the movies we've discussed in the past with these teen flicks, there's almost like a way to, you know, not that it's okay, but it's like almost like a thing where like, well, we don't really have to apologize because everyone who says it is a douchebag and they're supposed to be a douchebag. You know what I mean? It's like the Monster Squad, you know, but that's for a different type of show.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, he's an asshole. Yeah, asshole's going to be an asshole. But I will say what makes this movie good, the only foundation for this movie is the characters that don't matter. They're all my entertainment.
The stoner character steals the show for me in every single scene that he's in. So much so that I was like, he's got to have a name. And then I looked in the credits and now he's just listed as Stoner.
Stoner guy.
I don't know why. I don't know why it's still, it might be rose tinted joke to me because it was my favorite part since I was a kid, but just the, when he's trying to explain to him and then Pinkman's just like, Ryan gives pickle to Ashley. Not Ashley gives Ryan a pickle.
Yeah, no, young Aaron Paul just absolutely killing it in this movie. Like, it's so weird to watch this movie and be like, that guy's going to win a couple Emmys one day. But like,
I know that he was in Breaking Bad, obviously, but was he also in Alpha Dog?
No,
that was Ben Foster, I think.
Yeah,
I get those two mixed up constantly.
Yeah, that was Get Over It.
I got Colin Hanks and Ben Foster confused at one point when I was talking about it on a different podcast. I was like, yeah, Get Over It with, you know, it's starring Tom Hanks' kid. I'm like, well, Tom Hanks' kid is in it. Who is it actually starring? Ben Foster. There we go.
This is one of the few movies I remember the trailer to.
I do too.
Only because the scene where they're trying to download the porn on the computer.
Yes.
I remember that in the trailer.
I relate it to that scene as like a middle schooler hanging out at his friend's parents' house when they were never home. His parents were never, ever home. So it was just four losers in a basement with dial-up internet discovering sex for the first time.
I gotta tell you guys a story. Here's an embarrassing fucking story about dial-up porn, and the picture is burnt into my brain forever. Like, it's just one of those things that I'll be on my deathbed and cringe as I'm fucking dying and think about this. But so the way that we had the internet or the computer set up was that there's a the layout of my parents' house is such that there's the kitchen and dining room off of the living room. And then there's a hallway that either has stairs that go that has the stairs that either you can take down to the basement, you can go into the guest bedroom, which is like a small bedroom. I mean, like, it actually was previously a guest bedroom, but by the time we were in high school, I think it was just like a sewing room, quote unquote, like a sitting room, and that's where the computer was. And then my parents' bedroom was next to it. I'm sure that I've told you guys enough stories about in junior high playing Warcraft 2. On dial-up in that room, hiding from my dad, who's asleep, who would shit his pants if he knew that I was on the phone at 11 p.m. with my buddies playing Warcraft 2. But that's not what this story is about. This story is about it was after dinner on a weekday, and, oh, God, it's so embarrassing. Let me just get down to the brass tacks. I was downloading a picture, a pornographic photograph, where this guy's massive schlong is, I believe, in a redhead's anus.
Okay.
And it was like, I can still see the wiener. It was bending because he wasn't like fully hard because, you know, it's porn and that's, you know, nobody, no dude with a fucking 1.5 foot long penis is ever fully hard. And the woman is looking back at the camera and my mom opens the door and sees it and it's 3/4 of the way loaded. And so you just are below the penis, above the balls. And I immediately lose it. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And it's the worst lie. Oh God.
Man. I've got one where I don't think anyone has ever heard this story. And I reserve the right to decide to cut this from the show when editing. So I was in 9th grade, I want to say. So it was still like you're horny and you don't know what to do with it. And you're kind of desperate, right? I'm chatting up a girl that I met on like an AOL chat room, which now at 35, I'm realizing I could have been chatting up a guy. That's very possible.
I'm glad that you came to that.
But there was a promise of a boob picture if I would send a penis picture. So I was definitely talking to a guy. We didn't have any digital cameras in our house. What we did have was a scanner.
Oh, no.
So I turned the scanner sideways and pressed myself against it and scanned my penis and sent it to this person who didn't send a boob picture in return, leading me to believe that that there is a man somewhere out there that has a 15-year-old Matt Kelly scanned penis picture.
Man, and I remember the first time I ever took a picture of my wiener, there was a Polaroid at my parents' house. And I remember I took a picture of my erection, and then I was like, oh, no, what do I do with this now? And I, like, burnt it.
All right, so how many times have I watched this movie? I can answer that with this anecdote. I have never listened to a single song from when the Spice Girls went solo, but yet I still know all the words to this opening song by Mel C that plays to start off the movie.
Oh, that's who sings this opening song? Was, because I love that stop motion. It was really doing it for
me. Yeah, no, it was good stuff. I think that this is another one of those movies. I won't even put Can't Hardly Wait in this category because Can't Hardly Wait doesn't really show the high school that much. And I also, like, I knew that, like, 10 Things I Hate About You was an unrealistic depiction of high school, but like as a middle schooler, I'm like, yeah, this seems accurate. And, like, it totally set such unrealistic expectations for what high school was going to be just before I started.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: is the most unrealistic part of this movie is Jodie Lynn O'Keefe's character, because she has no sort of like consistency.
No, she seems so likable in the start, and then she's just a total monster. But like,
but then she's fine later.
Yeah,
and then she's a total asshole again. And when she's mad at Brian Ryan, she's like totally like, you know, like harumph.
Yeah,
but then immediately gets over and is like, well, I guess we're gonna go fuck in the hotel room. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. And like the thing that sticks out to me is like, yes, you could argue that like that's showing that her character is like two-faced, or that like not everything is what you think it's going to be, or whatever, like whatever the excuses that you want to use. But like the reality is like the if you're depicting a bitchy popular character who's two-faced, right? Then you have to have that consistency at least with characters that aren't her friends. So like when the stoner kid falls on the skateboard, she's like, oh, let me help you up. You know what I mean? Like she's like very friendly, but then is like a total jerk to the girl, the waitress girl. And it's like, no, she would either be a jerk to both the stoner guy and the waitress girl, or she would be nice to the waitress girl and then mean about her behind her back. But like, she's definitely being a jerk to that waitress the whole time.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, don't get me wrong. This movie is still a straight nostalgia trip, straight into my veins.
And it's a quick bit. Like, it moves. Like, this is not, like, they definitely trim this movie to the bare essentials. There's not a lot of scenes where you're like, well, that doesn't make sense to be here.
But it also is, it works. It really works. And I got to tell you guys another story. I spent the summer of 2000 absolutely obsessed with Marla Sokolov.
She's so great in this movie still.
Oh, she's great and she's beautiful. And obviously I have a very specific type, you know, pale skin girls with dark hair and blue eyes. It's just always been my thing. And I am so lucky that I was able to find one that has put up with me for 12 years. But anyway, as an adult watching this, Jodie Lynn O'Keefe really deserved like her role as hot girl, because she's like mind-blowingly attractive as well. But in the 90s, or in the, yeah, like 90s and early 2000s, I was like, ugh, she's such a bitch. You know, like I was always like, she's such a mean girl. And I was always like, she's too pretty. She seems fake and plastic, but like, she's just a legitimately beautiful person.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with,
you know,
the-
and she deserves so much, and she's also really funny in everything she's done. And she deserved like way more work than I think she actually
got. No, I agree with that.
We did get a chance to discuss her last week on She's All That, which by far the best her. Because she gets to date Matthew Lillard, which is one of the greatest. Dancing with Rick James, I still can't stop thinking about.
Yeah.
That might be, like, I was not sold on... Brian's actually the one that sold me on She's All That. Like, I saw She's All That in theater, and I rented it, like, maybe once or twice, but I was always like, eh, that's one of the lesser teen flicks.
That movie was massive. How is that, like, a lesser teen flick?
No, to me, like, of, like, the ones I would want to watch, like, it was, like, one of my least favorites. And then Brian was like... don't you remember the Rick James part? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he played me that scene, and I was like, all right, I need to rewatch She's All That, because that's amazing.
I know all the moves, and anyone that is in our Patreon for $100 or more, I will send a video of
this is exactly like that guy that Matt sent his penis to. He's not going to – you're going to get the money, and you're not going to respond.
Not now, babe. They're playing my song.
You got to know that next door neighbor, huge crush for Matt Kelly. I mean, a girl who's into Eels, Beastie Boys, J.D. Salinger, Salome.
That's Salome. That's the thing is that she's not a real person. You know, like, it's what's so funny about – what I love about her is that she's so grounded as an actor that she does a great job of making you fall in love with her.
Yeah.
Right? Like Maggie Carter. But the characterization is incredibly unrealistic, you know?
Scott, you got – this is why Scott is so stressed out, you know? It's like between like arguing with his grandparents about politics or 90s characters and movies with Matt, like they're set in their ways. You can't convince him it's not real. Matt is waiting for that girl, and she is real in Matt's mind.
I mean, you're talking to the guy who watched this movie and walked away from it being like, in high school, I want to be Aaron Paul's character.
Like, make sure you rough me up good in front of the hotties.
Well, at least Aaron Paul fit. Like, that's the thing. It's like all the side, obviously the popular ones fit, but it's like they had to throw an accordion at that guy because he's a good looking guy. He's gorgeous. It doesn't matter. Like, they're not going to be like, nerd, look at this nerd.
Well,
I don't. Well, here's the thing is that he can act his way out of a box. And so like he doesn't emote at all. Like Shane West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane West. All I can think about is him in League of Extraordinary
Gentlemen.
So
here's the
thing.
I want to stop you right there about Shane West, because here's how bad of an actor Shane West is. Shane West plays a British character in Get Over It. And while watching this movie, I was like, is he actually British? Because this is the worst American accent I've ever heard. But no, he's born in America. He just can't act. Like, <it's... laughs>
you know, like, if he set the bar that low for teen flicks, I feel like we could absolutely be in a teen flick in our 30s. You know, we're probably going to be like the Virgil Doolittle, or, you know, like, my hair is falling out. I got no game here. So I think that we could easily make it happen where we do a teen flick where we are the uncool people, but we could still be in a teen flick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish Pen 15 didn't beat us to the idea, but that would have been great if we just hired actual teenagers, but then the three of us.
That's the thing, is that I don't think men could have done it.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be like, so much creepier
Pen
with men.
Pen 15 is creepy and uncomfortable, but also massively successful due to the fact that it's kind of showing you stuff that you didn't see as a boy in that time. And then you watch it, like, I don't know about you, Brian, but like, I watched it with Megan, and like, maybe Jay's a little, you guys might be a little younger than what the actual, like, because I believe that the women on Pen 15 are a year younger than Megan, or the same age. And so all the beats hit, like, they're perfect for her. And this is shit that I didn't know girls did back in the 90s when they were in junior high and stuff. And so I was like, you know, this is so like out there and weird. And she's like, it's perfect, it's spot on. But if it was dudes, it would be like us going to the truck stop and finding a black plastic bag full of Penthouse and then like ripping it apart and sharing it with your 10 friends at school. It would just be about masturbation. It would be about eating fucking Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew, watching movies, trying to catch a boob so you could masturbate to it, and literally like eating pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about
that
it.
That really, like, just summed it all up for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got a pitch. Not Universal. Yeah. Universal, I got a pitch for a great movie. Okay, it's us. We're all in our 30s. And for an hour and a half straight, we're just going to masturbate and say, I'm a 13-year-old boy.
You know, I hate to say it, but there is a market out there for that in Hollywood.
Talking about us being 30 playing high schoolers, which is something that would only work in a parody film. When Ashley Grant first shows up to school and it's all the slow motions, people being like, oh, hi, Ashley. Like, that feels like it's out of a parody film. Like, it does not feel, I don't know how that got past the first edit where they're like, I don't know about this scene.
Because they loved it. Because the studio execs were all in their 40s and they were like, this is perfect. I can't watch this movie and not think about, or not another teen movie, because you're right. It's so much, it's basically a beyond what we're used to on this show. And it's now a pastiche of what we're about on this show. And that's what makes it great and memorable, but also really hard to swallow as an adult.
Yeah. There are things in this movie that happen that are very relatable to me. Specifically, there's a scene early on where they're in an assembly and Ashley Grant turns around and she starts talking.
Oh, God.
You think that she's talking to Brian Ryan, but she's talking to James Franco that's sitting behind her.
Hey, I'm James Franco.
That happened to my roommate Shrop. I was there and watched it happen. We were at a diner and he was standing there and like we were just standing there waiting to get seated. And then there was this girl that just turned around, looked at Shrop dead in the eye, but her friend was directly behind Shrop and she just goes, hey, do you want to go to the bathroom with me? And Shrop goes, sure. And then the girl walked out from behind Shrop. Question. I've never had to experience this, but I see it in a lot of 90s teen flicks. Did you ever have to shower in school publicly among other students?
No. Like, and that's where my suspension of disbelief breaks completely, is any shower scene in a high school, because no girl, I mean, beyond like the fact that you're, I mean, like maybe after practice, but not after a fucking
gym class.
Like,
yeah.
Gym class. I mean, who's even taking gym class as a senior in high school? No one.
That was one of our only required senior classes, actually, at our high school.
Gym?
Was you were required to take 4 years of gym and 4 years of English, and everything else was up to you senior year.
That explains a lot about Brian. Anyway, the suspension of disbelief breaks when Ashley Grant washes her hair. There's no fucking way that she would wash her hair in a school shower and then have to re-blow dry it.
Yeah.
And style it. There's no way.
Never. Yeah.
I mean, you guys didn't shower in middle school?
No.
After
I mean,
swimming?
After track and after basketball practice.
Even after swimming, I kept the bathing suit on and just did a quick, like, sprayed myself down and dried off.
This is also Matt Kelly, the one who wore a shirt in the pool, right?
Sometimes.
I was just kidding. Holy shit, are you serious?
I'm very self-conscious about this sexy bod.
But we've been at cons, and you weren't wearing a shirt.
Oh, no. Now I'm more confident, but teenage Matt? Oh, yeah. No, I was like, oh, I'm so pasty, and I've got a belly.
Have you guys ever seen that picture from the 90s where there are these girls in bikinis that are waiting in line at, like, a snack stand, and there's a guy behind him who's in shorts, and he's got a very obvious erection?
No. Was that a Doritos so... ad?
Yeah. No, it's like just some candid picture from like a public pool or something, and it flashes in my brain constantly because the fear of a public erection, even in my 30s, is omnipresent.
All right, so can we talk about one of the just sweetest songs to ever be played on the accordion? Modern English's I Melt With You. Such a bummer that this band didn't have a second hit. Otherwise, I could include them on my other show, Two Hit Wonders. So let down, because I love this song. This song has always been a good song to me, but I think I actually first fell in love with it because of hearing it on the accordion in Whatever It Takes. So much so that Brian and I had an accordion, and I watched the movie to try to learn it on the accordion, and I got the first couple notes.
I also got couple notes.
Yeah. Wait, so are you telling me that Shane West can't act but he can play accordion?
It's actually not that hard.
It's not a very hard song. He's hitting one note at a time versus like when someone who actually knows how to play accordion's like playing piano chords.
Yeah, there's that. So the famous Maggie Carter soul quiz. So we know that Matt would ace it.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, would you ace it? Or would you want to ace it? Or would you be like, Maggie Carter, look at the glasses and the overalls.
I don't know if I would ace it, and I don't know if I'd want to ace it, because I never want it to be contained. So I've never been the guy that's like, let me try to be who this person wants me to be. But I have been the guy that's like, let's hide me for as long as I can. You know what I mean? Like, Jade loves me for everything that I am, but 100%, if like our first date, she got 100% Brian Kelly, we would not be married today. You know what I mean? You got to kind of ease them into it. Let out a toot here or there, you know?
Hey, guys, did I ever tell you when Megan and I first started dating that once she started sleeping over, I would have to go into the living room when we were laying in bed to fart into the cushion so that you wouldn't hear me fart? Those days are gone. But that was the beginning of the relationship, so I feel what Brian is saying here.
Every legitimate relationship I've had, I've farted the first time the same way. And every single time. And it has been, they spent the night, and I was getting ready, and it slipped out as I was putting my pants on every time.
So we got a bunch of quotes that we still have to mention here, and then we can get on to our double features, okay? So I'm just going to rapid fire them. These are the ones that are in regular rotation in this household. Fingers suck good, vomit shower bad. Mm-hmm.
So much vomit, side note, in that vomit shower.
Yeah, I love the part where he's like, he's trying to win the shirt, and the guy, he's like, dude, help me out. I've got puke on my shirt. And he's like, so? He's got the number one. Let's do the number one and then the number two quotes of this movie. Like, the ones that get the most rotation in this house is, I like to come here from time to time and visit with the sickly and old. Megan says that more than I do. But then the thing is that, do you guys ever, do you know those chemical peels for your feet? They're I think they're Korean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Megan got me some of those for Christmas, and I had forgotten about them. I was like, oh, hey, let's do those feet peels. And she's like, okay, we did them. As they're starting to get disgusting, I'm like, oh, I got to watch Whatever It Takes. And so the part where he goes, damn, what happened to your feet? all I was thinking about was my feet. And then when I saw Megan's feet that day and hers were falling off, I just quoted it. And it was like, there will never be a more appropriate time to quote that.
I'm going
to
tell you guys a very, very repulsive story.
Okay. So nothing new from Brian.
No, this is probably... This is disgusting now that it wasn't disgusting at the time. So as we all know, I used to do a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. And I used to snort a lot of pills, and you know, sometimes breaking up in a dollar bill doesn't work well. So like you use like a hose, the hose ring to scrape it off. And the one day I had my pills, I was upstairs and I was like, I only have a straw. I don't have a dollar bill. And my dad had a petty egg, which he used to scrape the dry dead skin off of his feet.
Oh God.
And without
I felt the gag reflex as you, oh.
Without thinking or even washing it out, I scraped my pill into it and then snorted the line, which had to have at least 20% of my dad's dead skin in it.
That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard. Guys, I've talked about this before many times, how I never wanted to do drugs because I watched Trainspotting at a young age. If anybody hasn't watched Trainspotting or was not affected by Trainspotting at a young age to keep them from doing drugs, this story right here, This is why you don't do drugs.
Well, Brian, wasn't one of your I feel like I remember this vaguely, that like the first time you like went to counseling for your drug stuff, they were basically just like, watch Trainspotting,
It was Requiem for a Dream. Looking back and working in the field, I was awful therapist.
Yeah, it's like, man, that movie makes me really depressed. Let me do some drugs to feel better.
Yeah.
But she made me watch like 21, one like Las Vegas movie about a blackjack player. I think Kevin Spacey was in it. I didn't get the reference. But
maybe she was just recommending movies for next time. Yeah. She just wanted to talk to you. Hey, I just wanted to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like, I need you to watch Jaws. Why?
I'm like, I'm a film buff.
There somewhere.
Yeah, what movies do you like? Boondock Saints. Oh, boy. All right, let's not worry about the drugs here. here's a list of films to watch.
Let's talk some double features. Like, you know, you're walking into the Blockbuster with your friends. You're grabbing whatever it takes. What other movie are you grabbing?
Well, since I picked it, I'm going to go with a little something weird. Now, this may seem like, you know, for the purists out there who think that every double feature should be same genre, you know, I'm sorry, I got to buck the trend. I know usually we stick to that, but for this week and this week only, I got to say, I'm going to go with a horror movie.
Oh.
Because
that's not like you at all.
I know. I hate horror movies. They make me so uncomfortable. I remember this movie being pretty bloodless and pretty fun. And I liked it because it was basically like the horror version of Mean Girls. And it's because they go through the cafeteria and they talk about each one of the cliques. And that could have been perfect for a double feature with Whatever It Takes. Because also, I think that the Blue Ribbons do have Whatever It Takes. So I'm going to go with Disturbing Behavior as my double feature, but I'm going to do it first and then finish the night with Whatever It Takes so I don't have any nightmares.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that choice is both wrong, bad, wrong, bad, wrong, bad. For me, you know what? I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit because you know that I love me some Christmas. So I'm going to pick up a copy, maybe not for me and my friends to watch because they wouldn't want to watch a black and white movie, but I'm going to watch It's a Wonderful Life because this movie was shot at the same high school that they used for It's a Wonderful Life, because both movies feature the gym floor that opens up into a pool where everybody falls into the water sequence in both movies. So I'm going to go with that.
Very interesting. I feel like you could do two things. One, I feel like you could use the It's a Beautiful Life to get back to the 90s teen flick stuff and listen to It's a Wonderful Night. Right? I mean,
it's a beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful life. Yeah. I like it. I dig it. I'm going to go ahead and...
And the second thing is that, you know, Brian and I know how much you love Christmas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, well, obviously Brian does because he's your brother. But, I mean, I've learned so much about you in all these times that we've discussed teen flicks. I feel like you should have a podcast about Christmas time.
I mean...
Just like, do why don't you do one for every day of the year? Like, you could call it all year round Christmas.
I think that's let me look and make sure that name's not taken while Brian tells us his double feature.
Yeah, but I just feel like it'd be too similar to your current podcast, Armistice Day 365.
That is true. That is the only holiday that I love as much as Christmas.
So a little fun fact about me as a young whippersnapper, I could not tell people apart. I had a huge problem differentiating different actors and actresses. I'm being dead serious. I was like 16 when I realized that Tim Meadows and Don Cheadle weren't the same person. So as a 12-year-old...
You knew Don Cheadle as a 16-year-old?
Yeah.
He loved him in Ladies Man.
No, it was the Adam Sandler movie where he was where his family died 9/11. Can't think of what it was called.
Oh, Rain Over Me.
Rain Over Me.
You thought that Rain Over Me was Tim Meadows taking a real dramatic turn?
No, I was like, this guy's good. So with that mindset, 12-year-old me would be like, man, Maggie is awesome. Let's watch another great movie Maggie's in, Mallrats. Because I used to think that she was Shannon Doherty also.
Ridiculous. All right. Well, that's all the time we have this week on Teen Flick Movie Night. The fun doesn't have to stop here. You can go over to the Patreon, hit up the Patreon. We're going to be talking about, much like this movie, how all of the other teen flicks, like all the other teen flicks from the 90s that were very underrated, kind of forgotten. Now, I know it's a little weird, but we couldn't get our normal URL. So for some reason, Patreon gave us the URL of patreon.com/HMN podcast. I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. But check that out to listen to that Patreon episode.
Happy movie night.
Happy movie night. Let's go! Back to 99, when they suck for a baby guy. Rushing on the hottest girl in school. Start 10 men and love. Won't you come along?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.